sugya of the last blah and a half has been yonim of shlichos and tachia and related issues. Tonight's shir is really a little bit of a tangent. The Gemara got off onto a tangent because it was discussing the koch of an apotropos mentioned as a special unique authority for a person who was either appointed by the mezer or appointed by the father to take care of the nechasim of the yisomim. The apotropos has a certain degree of monetary authority, perhaps even halakha authority, and other areas of halakha as well. Because of this, the Gemara then gets onto a sidetrack in terms of other kinds of dividing up a property, particularly achim shechof. We have the brothers, the father passed away, the brothers are yoresh, the whole inheritance, and they begin to divide up the property. So the Gemara has a whole sidetrack and then bays and bays as to what some of the ramifications of those halakhas are when the sugyas of achim shechof. So we're going to pick it up at the top in the bays and bays. The second one from the top, Amr of Nachman, Achim Shechofu, when brothers divide up the Yerusha, Harei and Kilikuchos. They take on the status like purchasers one from another. So we view them through the eyes of Mekach u'Memkar. It's as if, in a sense, that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all the brothers are Yorish Yaakov. So it's as if Reuven bought out some of the brothers for his share, and Shimon bought out the brothers for his share, etc. My nafkamina that we view them through the eyes of Lekuchos. So if Nachman says, we treat them like lekuchos vis-a-vis the halachas of Onoa. The Mishnah tells us in the sugyas in the fourth paragraph of Bava Metzia that one is not permitted to cheat somebody in a business deal. Say, if I'm selling you a car and there's a going rate for the car, and I know the going rate and you don't know the going rate, and I cheat you, I tell you the wrong number, so that's an issur d'oraisa of Onoa, ton isha zochiv. Onoa works in both directions. Either the mocher can be ma'ana v'lokech, lokech ma'ana v'locher, either one cheats on the price, that's an issur d'oraisa. Not only is that an issur d'oraisa, there are certain consequences that happen depending on the degree of how much the cheating was. So Rav Nachman says that achim are treated like lekuchos vis-a-vis these dinim with the following three categories: that pachas b'shtos nikne mekach, yes or shtos pofa mekach, shtos kano b'achseo no'o. The din is that regular buying and selling, that if I cheat you, so if I cheat you less than a shtos, less than a sixth of the value of the sale was, so then we assume that whether that's mutar or also, that's a different story, but Lamai said there are no consequences, nothing happens. You can't turn around and take me to a dintari afterwards and say you want your 29 cents back, because we assume there was a stamachil, such an insignificant amount, it's just a small amount compared to what the purchase price was. We assume that the person was probably moichel. So that's what's called pachos mishtos. What if it's a yes or a shtos? What if I ripped you off by, say the car was, the going was $5,000, I charge you $8,000 on the car, so I ripped you off by a significant amount, it's more than a shtos, more than a sixth of the total value, so then bottle mekach, so then you have, when you find out about this mistake that you made, you have a right to take me to a dintar and declare that the sale is bottle, you can get your money back, you can start all over again. And what if it's exactly a shtus? I'm on the dot that I cheated you by a sixth. So then shtus konam achzor no. So then the din is that it's not outright mechila. On the other hand, you don't have a right to cancel the sale. The Gemara tells us in the fourth Bechavu Metzia that the din is shtus kaya mekach mekachaymu umachzor no. That the mekach remains intact konam achzor no, but you have to give the money back, whatever amount of money that you cheated me. So the bottom line is those are the three categories in terms of both regular buyers and sellers. So nothing happened. More than a shtos is bavu mekach, and exactly on the dot a shtos is kano machzor no. So if Nachman says that those dinim are identical in the realm of achat shechofu, you have a bunch of brothers are dividing up the estate, and they cheat each other a little bit. So I took, we made a calculation. I took the car, and I told you the car was only worth $5,000. Was really worth was worth more than that, whatever it was. So I cheated you. So then we plug in whatever the numbers are, and whatever the regular dinim of Ono are, carry over to Achat Shechofu, because Achat Shechofu are lekuchos. Now comes the Gemara and says that those three categories of halacha are not always true. There are certain limitations to that. So we can just skip down a little bit for our purposes. That the first little line is Omer. It's about 12 lines, 15 lines down or so. First one is Omer. The Gemara says, "V'had the Omer shtus kano machzor no." That which we said that if the cheating was exactly a sixth, so then the sale is valid. You just have to return the Ono. La Omer elav metalikli. That's only true if we were dividing up metalikli. We're dividing up movable objects. Avav mekarkoi. But if we were dividing up karka, ain't Ono lekarkos. So then we plug in the Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Bava Metzia that says, Ain't on all the kakos. There's no cheating. Cheating doesn't apply. The rules of cheating don't apply to kakos. We have a lot of work to do to figure out what that means exactly, what it doesn't mean. But in one fell swoop, the verse says, Ain't on all the kakos, quoting the Mishnah, the fourth part of Amitzia. And therefore, the dinim are going to be different. The regular dinim of Shtis Kana Machzor will not apply in the realm of kakos. So I'd count at least for our purposes right now. So we have to analyze what exactly this rule means. Eight on all the kakos, how this is playing out in terms of these different numbers, and to get a much better picture as to what's going on in Kiddush and Beis, we have to first learn the main sugi, the primary sugi actually appears in Masechet Bava Metzia. So we're going to switch a little bit now to Bava Metzia and try to analyze a little bit about what this rule is all about and how this impacts on Kiddush and Beis. So it actually starts out with a Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav and Aleph in the second book of Tziya. So it's the very bottom of the Amud, Nun Vav and Aleph, it's the very bottom. The Mishnah says, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lam Onah. The rules of Onah don't apply to the following things. Ha'avodim, v'hashtaris, v'hakarkos, v'hakadeshos. So the halachas don't apply to the buying and selling of an Evan Kanani, they don't apply to the buying and selling of documents, they don't apply to Kark, and they don't apply to Hekdesh. Where does this come from? What's this all based on? The Gemara is quick to point out. If you take a look on the Rav of Abeis, the Gemara questions the Mishnah and Anamil, what's the source for all this? The Tanya Rabban, it's all based on Psukim and Parshas Bahar, which are the source and Chumash for the Dinim of Anah. The Chisimkru Mimka La Misecha, Okana Miyana Misecha. The Torah says if you sell something, if you buy something, the end of the pasuk says, "Al tonu ishes achiv." You're not allowed to be ma'ani. You're not allowed to cheat. You're not allowed to overcharge or undercharge your fellow men. So the Gemara has a drasha. Toshua Peh explains that since the Torah introduces the parasha of Anah, the isav Anah, with the words "v'chisimku mikla okana miyada misecha," so miyada misecha refers to davra nikna miyad liyad. So that's describing an item that is purchased, that is bought and sold from hand to hand, which is obviously not referring to character. You don't hand over a piece of land. You hand over an animal. You hand over a car. You hand over a svarim. You don't hand over a piece of land. So that comes to teach us, yatsu karkol she'enin metaltalim. So therefore, karkols are excluded from the parasha of Ono. And similarly, yatsu avadim shekshul karkols. And it also excludes Evet Kanaidi as a general rule that avad mukshul karkols, that's ready on another sugi in Shas, that many of the dinim that apply to karka also carry over to avadim, and yotzu shtaros. Shtaros are also excluded. So let's say if I sell you a document, so I have an IOU, somebody Reuven owes me $1,000, and I sell it to you, and if I patch around to the going rate for $1,000 IOU, probably not $1,000. It would be silly to spend $1,000. So you would probably buy it for a little bit less than that, hoping that you'd be able to collect it. So let's say the going rate is $850, and I cheat you into telling you the going rate is a different number, and you had no idea, you don't know what's going on. So I would have thought the dinim of Anah applied to shtaros. No, there's no dinim of Anah on shtaros. How do you know that? Yatsu shtaros, techsiv chisimku nimkar, shegufo mochor. The Torah describes an item that itself is bought and sold. When I sell you a shtar, I sell you an IOU, I'm not selling you the kufa to offer. The piece of paper is not worth the paper that's written on. It's only as representative value. And therefore, the shtar, therefore, Anah doesn't apply to that. And it says again, so yatsu shtaros, techsiv chisimku nimkar, this comes to exclude shtaros. They're not actually sold. They're not actually bought. They're only worth the representative value to collect the money. Then the Gemara says that what if I sell the paper, mamash for the paper, then it will be different. So the bottom line is that these are all gzeres hakosos, and for our purposes, the gzeres hakosos that really counts is davar nikna miyad liyad. So that's the din. That ain't an olik akos and finished, and it's based on this mission, this Gemara, that the Gemara Kiddushin is referencing. That sounds like a pretty open and shut sugya. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Daf Nun Zayin and Aleph in Bava Metzia all of a sudden starts to take the sugya in a little bit of a different direction. So we go to Nun Zayin and Aleph. So Gemara is the following discussion, the third line from the top. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chasa. Boy Rabbi Ami. Rava quotes the name of Chasa that Rabbi Ami had the following shah, the following yourself. O no ein lohem bitul mekach yesh lohem, o ein lohem. Comes Rabbi Ami and says, I know that ein on olik goes. I got that. I understand that. But does the din of bitul mekach apply to them or not? What do what in the world does that shayla mean? So Rashi on the spot explains. Fitul mekach, yosef ishtos. So comes Rashi and says, going back to when we introduced the sugi, we said there are three categories of potential cheating. There's less than ishtos, that's not even relevant, nothing happens less than ishtos. And then if it's exactly ishtos, exactly a sixth, the sale is valid, but you have to return the ono. If it's more than a sixth, then the sale is batel. So comes Rashi and says, it's that second din of bitul mekach, that halacha, that if you cheat somebody more than a sixth, that the whole sale is null and void. That was Rabbi Ami's suffek, whether that din applies to karak or not. That's the words bitul mekach. When Rabbi Ami used the phrase bitul mekach, Rashi translated yesiv ishtos. So according to Rashi, when it's any cheating of more than a sixth, we're not so sure that din doesn't carry over to karak. Not so fast. What's the shiloh? What's the suffix? So the Gemara doesn't explain what the other with the suffix, but Rashi explains the law of this. Rashi says, Yesh leno elohem. Mi amrina, do we say, me al tonuhu de imut? When do we say that karkos are excluded from the parasha of Bahar? They're excluded from dine ono. But the ha, lav b'chlav ono. When you cheat a fellow so much more than a sixth, that's not ono. That's a different din. That's a din of mekechtos. Like Moshe the what would it din be? Let's say there wouldn't have been a parsha's Bahar, I don't know. Let's say the Torah never would have told me that there are problems of cheating a guy in terms of cash value of the item. If I would have sold you a car without an engine, what would you think the din would have been? Well, leaving out the parsha, there's no din of ono. I sold you a car, I gave me $10,000 for a car, it turns out there's no engine in the car. I need the Chumash to tell me that the sale was bought off. Common sense dictates. It's chamei tachtos. All sales require das. I mean, if we don't know that by now, we've been learning condition for a while. We know. You need das moicher, das koin. I mean, you have to have gemiris das. If you have toast, whatever, there's a mistake. So the mistakes are null and void. If I do any chamois betos, condition toast is no good. Get betos. Anything that's done betos is not valid. The toast undermines the very necessity of das. So if I cheated you to the extent that there was a mekachtos, so of course, Mekachtos means that the Mekach is bottle. I don't need the parish of Onoah for that. The chiddush of the parish of Onoah is that it's not really a Mekachtos. It's not like selling a guy a car with no engine. It's fudging the price a little bit. It should have gone to 800 and I jacked it up to 850 and I added the realm of normalcy. That's not a Mekachtos. It's cheating. I'm not advocating, I'm not justifying, I'm not sanctioning it, but that's not Mekachtos. That's the chiddush of Onoah. So comes Rashi and says, maybe even within jacking up prices, maybe you reach a certain point where that's not ono anymore. That's mamish mekachtos. Even if there wouldn't, let's say there wouldn't have been a din of ono of the Torah, those sukkim and pashas ma wouldn't have been written. I would have sold a fellow something that really the market value is 100. I would have sold it for $100,000. It's mekachtos. So I need a parsha to tell me that that's no good. So comes Rashi and says that was the suffix of Rabbi Ami. Once you go over the edge of more than a sixth, once you already enter into the realm of you cheated him so big, you jacked the price up so significant that it's already more than a sixth of what the value was, then you've exited the parasha of Ono, and you've entered into the Pashat Svaradin of Mekachtos. Once you're in Mekachtos, Mekachtos makes the difference whether it's Karak or Metafilin. If I sell you a piece of land, you thought you were buying land that was able to plant, and it turns out that I sold you land in the middle of the desert, so hopefully it was a mistake. So of course, that's a mekachtos. Of course, there's no difference between karak and betalflim. So that was Rabbi Ami's latest asafik, that maybe when the mistake in the price, the mistake in value, reaches such a high amount, that's more than a sixth, it's no longer the parasha of Ono, maybe it's betal mekach. Oh, Dilma. Kevan, the Rashi continues, oh, Dilma, kevan, the lav dovish ben midahu, v'lo atiye b'dibure, kishai didn't know, or maybe not. Maybe a mistake in price is not really a mekachtos. It's not the same thing. Why? It's not like I misrepresented how much I'm selling you. If I would sell you, I'm selling you, 5 acres of land, and then I'll only show up and give you 2 acres of land. You pay me for 5 acres, I'll give you 2 acres. I'm sure that's selling a car without an engine. So of course, bittul mekach. I don't need an offer for that. Or if I would have mamish outright, misrepresented the fact, and I misrepresented the fact, I gave you a higher price. Between you and me, prices fluctuate. Prices are very, very, very hard to give an exact price on something. So one can argue mistakes in price and not toast. Mistakes in price are oh no. Oh no, it's $800 karkos. So that's the lumdus. of Rabbi Ami. That's the latest of Sofi according to Rashi's Pshat. That everybody agrees that when I sell you metalpolin, so a mistake of a sixth is on the off, and that din does it a flooding character. That's for sure. Al Tori Shazochiv, the parashiv on does it a flooding character because Davin Nikudiyadiyat excludes character. The Shail of Rabbi Ami is once you're above a sixth, is that still the parashiv on excluding character? Or is that entered into another realm, another area of Allah from Mekachthos, where character metal would be the same? That's a Rashi sizes up for the sixth. So Tosis has a lot of problems with this, both Tosis in Maseches Kiddushin and Tosis in Maseches Bavli Tzia, where Tosis shows you from Gemara's later on in Bavli Tzia that it seems to be that even very, very big discrepancies in price are still okay. I didn't say it's booked to do it yet, that's a whole other story, but are still not subject to the rules of Pitl Mekach in the realm of Karka. That where Rashi, at least the one side of Rashi is, that there is Bittul Mekach, and in fact the Gemara says, if you take a look quickly back to it in Zayin Amal for a moment, the Gemara says, Boy Rabbi Ami, no ain't la Bittul Mekach Yeshem ain't lahem, Omer of Nachman Had, Omer of Chasta, Poshit Rabbi Ami, no ain't la Bittul Mekach Yeshem. The Rabbi Ami concluded, yes, there is Bittul Mekach, so it comes out according to Rashi, Fshat and Rabbi Ami, once you're above a sixth, it's all over, it's not even by Karka. Tosa shows you that Gemara's don't seem to bear this out. So what does Rabbi Ami mean when he says, I'm not Elam Bitlo Mechachesham? If it doesn't mean more than a sixth, what number does it mean? So it comes to Ben Adam and puts almost an arbitrary halachic number. If you take a look at the Tosa on the top of the Zion of an Aleph, Tosa says, for Tirach Ben Adam, it's the first of the skinny lines in Tosa, on the top Tosa, it's Amr of Nachman. For Tirach Ben Adam, the Eino no at Palga, of all we Palga the Eloch Bikr Bitlo Mechach, the Yeshlahem. Says Rabbi Natam, if it's twice the price, if you sold a piece of land that was supposed to go for $100,000 and you charge a guy $200,000, sounds like what happens in a lot of communities. If it's worth $100,000, you charge him $200,000. Your mom is cheating, they got twice the price. Says Rabbi Natam, ad kantaleya. So that's already too much. That's the bitul mekach of Rabbi Ami. So it comes out of major machlekes Rashi Rabbi Natam. What did Rabbi Ami mean when he said, O no elam of al bitul mekach yeshlam? According to Rashi, meant that up until a sixth, but more than a sixth, it's really bitul mekach. And according to Rabbi Natan, no. Even much more than a sixth, significantly more than a sixth, could still be in another karkos. You reach a certain point, that's already too much. That already, we capped it at twice the price. But until that point, it's still the parish of in another karkos, according to Rabbi Natan. The Rambam. I didn't put the Rambam in our cards, but if you take a look at the Rambam doesn't mention any din of Bittul Mekach by Karkos. The Rambam seems to hold that we don't even pass like Rabbi Ami, because there are other Gemara's above it, that don't seem to be at the south. Ain't another Karkos, the sky is the limit. Stacha, ain't another Karkos. So Mechlekes, bottom line is, a running Mechlekes, whether there's a certain point where you reach where ain't another Karkos fails us. So both Rashi and Benatam agree there is a point, but they disagree radically where that number is on the line. According to Rashi, it's more than a sixth, but Benatam, it's twice the price. According to Rambam, there is no such line.
Is the technical point, Benatam's that Palga is 100% increase or 50% increase?
I think 100. I think
he meant,
it's 100 to 200. No, 100 to 200. Where in the world would Benatam dig up this arbitrary number? He found Risham. Rashi says the. Whatever it says, Rishama doesn't say it in the Bavli. Rashi says the only source we have in the Bavli is this Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mention that Palga for a bit of time. Davar Rishama says
a
Palga.
Is the six like a Svara or Moshe Beis Sinai? Where does that come from?
Oh, okay. Good. We're going to get there also. We have to talk about this. We have a lot more to talk about. This Machlokes as to is there a cap? At some point, is there a cap? Or do we say, no, it just keeps on going forever and ever and ever? This impacts on another Machlekes of Rishonim, which I didn't put on the, I didn't send out the Mamre Kosher to say it over a little bit about that. It was on the list of Mamre Kosher, I didn't print it out. But the famous Sugya, we speak about it every 7 years, the Sugya Prisbal. Mishnah says in Masechet Gittin that there was a big problem. Hillel HaZaken noticed in his generation, people were very, very weary to lend money as it got close to the end of the Shemitah year. People were afraid, and I'm lending that money 2 months before Shemitah. Is that going to pay me back? Shemitah is going to cancel the debt, and I'll be out my money. So people stop lending money. That's a big problem because the Torah says you're not allowed to do that. The Torah says, "Penny a double mach." We just read it. Just not special pay. So penny a double mach will be out. Kavish nasa sheva. So Hillel Let's try to figure out how do we solve this problem. So he came up with this grandiose idea called prosbul, that we're going to, in a sense, circumvent the Shemitah's Kesafim by having a person hand over all their debts to Beis Din by writing a new document called the prosbul. And once you put the Beis Din in charge, so somehow the Din and Shemitah don't apply. Pashas Advarim is that's only a din b'dirabanan. It's not a real din min haTorah. The Gemara Masechta Get and Lamed Rav tries to figure out what right he'll have to do that. Maybe Shmita is not as dirabanan. Maybe Efka Bez Nefka. Whatever the love this is. But the bottom line is it's been a principle. Comes the Mishnah and says there's a limitation on principle. One of the important limitations of principle is that it only works if the Lova owns Karka. Lova has to own karka. Lova doesn't own karka, so then prosbul doesn't work. Why not? So there are different reasons why that's true. Different reasons in the Mishnah. But the that's a thing. That's a Mishnah, no question about it. But then the Mishnah has a startling statement. The Mishnah says, how much karka must a Lova own? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, presumably the goal of owning karka is in a sense to make it corresponding to the debt. It means that the Lova already owns karka, so it's almost like the debt was already paid back. That's what some Mishnahim say. So who would ask me, if it's a $10,000 debt, so the Lova should have to own a minimum of $10,000 worth of karka. That's what I would have said. But the Mishnah says no. As long as the Lova owns a kosher, even the smallest, a little mash or a little inch by an inch of karka somewhere, that's good enough. You can write principles for hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, as long as the Lova owns a little bit of karka. And it's unclear why that should work. Why does that stunt work? Why does that trick work? The mice, we do it all the time. When we write principles, most of us own karka. In order to own karka, either you have to literally own it, or even if you're a socher, if you're a renter, so you own karka. So usually, once a guy's married, either he owns his house, or he's renting his house, or he owns some kind of some land somewhere. So just about everybody, at certain stages in their life, own or rent karka. The problem is, the bachrim usually don't own any karka. You don't own any, rent any karka. They rent in some spot in a deer or somewhere in Yerushalayim. So it's usually their parents are paying for it anyway. So that's a problem. So how can a bachar, someone who doesn't own karka, ever write a prosbul? So the Gemara says, no problem, that if I want to write a prosbul against you, I know that you owe me $10,000, and I know you don't own any karka, so I should be mezacha you karka. I should give you a little piece of karka, and once I give you a mash, a little, nothing by nothing, a little tiny piece of karka, then I could write the prosbul. It's fun. So that's the mice, what we do. Well, that's what we do, Bizman Azeh. And if you run into a problem of having a prosbul against somebody who doesn't own karka, that's what we do. I remember years ago in NYU, some of you may remember when the lockers in the old Beis Medrash used to be connected to the wall. I don't know if you remember back
in the basement.
Do you remember those? Remember those years?
High school years.
Okay. So if I'm not mistaken, I think when they were in, I think they may have actually been connected, like b'chubal karka at one point. So they used to tie it that all the bachim, a guy rents $2 from SOY, rents a lot, so he has a shtukal karka, once b'chubal karka, that's good enough. But then they moved them into the coffee room, so then I think they detached them. So I think the whole principle changed in a while, something like that. It goes back about 20 plus and then some years. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Rishonim are disturbed, trying to figure out what kind of loch is this. It's a strange din. If you don't know a little bit of karka, that's good enough. So different Rishonim have different eights as to how that phenomenon works. So the Rashbam has a startling statement. Rashbam says, you know why even only a little bit of karka works? Because ain't it all the karkos? There's no price tag on karka. So it may look to you like it's a tiny piece of karka, and the debt is $10,000. So you think it's only worth a nickel? Yeah, but he could rip somebody off. We shouldn't rip them, but he could tear off and rip somebody off, charge him $10,000 for the 5-cent piece of karka, and get $10,000. So every piece of land really is worth any given amount based on the principle of ain't all the karkos. So the other Rishonim, quote this Rashbam, disagree. Rabbi Natan's own brother disagrees. He says that's not true. He says according to me, ain't all the karkos has a cap to it. Ain't all the karkos only goes up probably halfway. According to my grandfather, according to Rashi, ain't all the karkos only goes up to more than a shtus. Once you're more than a shtus, then you're for sure over the limit. So you can never plug in the din of ain't all the karkos and justify writing a prosbul on a penny's worth of land and call it's really worth $100,000. It's not true. So we shouldn't give other reasons. Those who shall will disagree with the Rashbam give other reasons why writing on a mashal of karka works. But the Rashbam clearly was of the opinion like the Rambam, that the doctor is no cap, there is no end. In the look of course, in between Mekas, everything the sky's the limit when it comes to karka. So again, so we have a three way machlekes in the Rishonim. Is there a limit? And if there is, what is the limit? Rashi, Rabbi Natan, and the Rambam and the Rashbam. And then we have this, how this goes over. It potentially affects the sugya in terms of Hilchos principle. And everyone agrees the Maishik could write a principle on even a small amount. What the reason is depends on the smell. Rabbi said, we have to now raise really the basic, most fundamental question to that entire sugya. These magic words, Eino no lekakos. Does it mean that it's okay? You're allowed to do that. It means I want to sell you a piece of, this is going to become very, very relevant, some fields of real estate. I want to sell you a piece of land. And there's a certain price connected to that land. You're a newcomer. You don't know anything. You come from a foreign country. You walk to Burgerville. You have no idea what the prices are. And I see this as my opportunity. There's a $500,000 piece of property. And I say to you, yeah, well, the going rate is $800,000. And you sign that line, you give me the money. So can you take me to the Din Torah? Mm-hmm. Depends on Rashi or Benetam, the Ram and Rashbam. But forget about the Din Torah after the fact. Did I do something wrong? Was that okay what I did? Somehow, intuitively, we feel there's no way that was okay. There's no way we're going to justify that. But let's try to put our intuition behind. Our intuition is going to be right at the end. We'll get to that. But let's see if we can learn this sugi from Mamdash vantage point. What does Eino no lekakos mean? Does Eino no lekakos mean that your Mamdash can show whatever? There is no price there. The concept of a price tag in real estate doesn't exist. It's the wild, wild west. It's a free for all. It's the seller's market. Whatever you want to charge for real estate goes. There's nothing wrong with it. But lechatchila, is that what Eino no lekakos means? Well, not a chance. Eino no lekakos means you're a maneuver for doing it. You're violating an issue. You're ice of onor for doing it. We don't have any recourse here. We can't take you to interior for it. There's a cost of nebuch. It's not a davidikul. Yeah, we can't do anything about it. But in terms of the isuro, it's mamish and isuro. So let's again put aside the emotions and try to understand this from the sugya itself, from the Gemara, from the Rishon. Do we have any rags one way or the other? Just how far in and out the coast goes. So there is a very, very difficult Gemara. It appears at the beginning of Ezu Nesha, beginning of the fifth paragraph of the second Gemara. The Gemara begins on Daf Samach Aleph Amin Aleph. It's right smack in the middle of the page of Samach Aleph Amin Aleph. It starts with the word Yishach. Not surprising, it's dealing with Neshach. Rib is taking interest. So first word line is Yishach, just about halfway down the page. So at the end of the line, Amar Rava. Rava poses the following question. There were three surim in the Torah that are almost identical to one another. They all involve taking money that shouldn't be coming to you rightfully so. One is Nisuf Ribis. You shouldn't be getting that money. It's not rightfully yours. Gezel, you stole. You beat a guy up, take his money away. Money came to you, she'll look at it. Oh no, you cheated a guy. You sold him a car that should have gone $10,000, you charged him $15,000. So in each one of these cases, you got somebody else's money, she'll look at it. So why do I need a pasuk to aser all three? The Torah doesn't write superfluous yisurim. If logically I could have derived one from another, why do I need a pasuk for each? So the Gemara goes through the very, very detailed, intricate process to show you why it's not so simple, if I would have had one, that I could have necessarily derived the others. Maybe each one has certain characteristics that perhaps would be unique. So the starting point of Rava's question is, Lamali Dikas V'chamana is, even though they're a little bit different, the underlying principle is the same, all examples of taking money that's not coming to you. And then Rava goes to chisel away and show you, why, no, if I would have had A, I could have figured out B, would have had B, could have figured out C, would have had C, would have figured A. So at the end of the day, we're going to touch up and figure out why Lamais it's necessary to have all three. But the starting point of Rav is that Lu Yitzu, you could have learned that one from another. We talk about would have sufficed. There would have been no need for the Torah to spell out all three. It's really fundamentally the same. So before we get to how this impacts on Onoah, do we even understand what Rav is talking about? Rav's very basic premise is very, very, very questionable. Rav highlights three surah. Which of these three is not like the others? Gezel, Onoah, and Ribbis. Rav says, why do I need a pasuk for all three? They're all the same. They're all taking money, like you did. They're all taking money, like you did.
It's Ribbis, that part of the taking.
Ribbis, the guy agrees. He agrees to the sale, but he doesn't agree to be cheated. Ribbis, the guy knows what he's getting into. He signs it, I'm signing it, 8%. I know exactly what I'm getting myself into. So what do they even mean? It's a very, very strange statement of Rava. L'chor, Ribbis is not like the other two, B'chol. To make matters even more difficult, there's a fundamental shaila about what the very nature of Ribbis is all about. Again, we're not learning Ribbis, we're learning Ono, but to understand, to compare and contrast it to Ono a little for a moment. The Torah says, I want to take Ribbis. I went in and I took the Ribbis. I violated the assert, I took Ribbis. Okay. So I lent you $100 and now I got back $100 plus another $5. Who owns that $5? I lent you $100, you gave me $100, and you bought me a safer also. You gave me Ribbis. Who owns that safer? I stole the safer? I stole them. You gave me the other one. I stole the $5 you signed on the IRA. You can give me $5 extra. So the Pashtus HaDvarim is that the Malva, the person who lent the money, owns the Ribbis. How do I know that? The Gemara's Machlaikis, the beginning of Ezer Neshech, Machlaikis Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lazar, if you went ahead and you violated Ribbis, you have to return the Ribbis. So Rabbi Yechon says you don't have to return it. There's no Chiv, you're not Machlaikis to return. The Bezin's not going to take the Ribbis. You want to give it back, it's a nice thing to do, but you're not Machlaikis to give it back. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, you're Machlaikis to give it back. How did Rabbi Elazar know you're Machlaikis to give it back? Because it says in the Chumash, Al Tikach Meitom Neshech, Vesabisra, Vechei Achicha Imach. The Torah says you took the Ribbis. Help your brother come back to life again. Namely, give the ribbons back. Be a nice guy. Give the ribbons back. Bezin's going to make you give the ribbons back. The starting point of the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar is that you own the ribbons. If the starting point was that the other guy owns the ribbons, I need a pasuk to tell me I have to give it back. I need a Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't have to give it, you don't have to give it back. If I'm holding on to money that's not mine, he's just exerting shagazel. I'm not going to hold on to money that's like you did. Let's say, I know that I owe you X amount of money. If I left you, I need a possum to tell me that. That's Elam. So for the fact that Yechon says that you don't have to return. And if Alonzo needed exerce a cost of to say you do, but Lule the exerce, without the possum, I would have said you don't have to. It seems very, very clear that the owner of the ribbis is the Malva. That's what the Ritva writes in the Yim HaSech's Kedushin. So what would the din be? If I lend you $100 ribbis, you give me back $100, and then you give me a ring. We make a deal, I'm going to lend you $100. I want $100 back plus a ring. So when you give me back that ring, that's ribbis ketsutza. That's an issa deraisa. It's a gum of ribbis. And I'm supposed to give it back to you. We passed it like Rabbi Lazar. Ribbis ketsutza yetzim deyonim. Bezin's going to force me to give it back. But before Bezin forced me to give it back, I used the Mekadosh Anisha. What's the din? So the Ritva is a raya in Kedushin Davav that the woman's Mekadoshes. So the Achrayim are Kodeshes. So the Kitchen be Gezel and Kodeshes. What's the answer? It's not Gezel. It's Bechlal, not Gezel.
And if the interest is too high?
No. Even if it's the guy signed on it. The guy agreed.
He's cheating, isn't
it? No, it's not. Oh, no. Oh, no, he doesn't know what the price is. He knows exactly. I know the going rate for interest is, I don't know, 8%. I'm going to the loan shark. I'm going to pay 30%. I need the money. I can't get a bank loan. I'm going to pay 30%. I'm willing to pay it. It's not Gezela. I didn't say it's mutter, it's terrible. It's a derais, a kam, it's not gezela. So the pash that farm is, it's not really gezela. They want to bring a raya from the Shulchan Aruch. Not from what the Shulchan Aruch says, but where he says it. Where's of this ribbis? I don't know. What chelak in Shulchan Aruch? It's a nirdeh. Where is it not? It's not a chesh mishpah. You know why? Because it's not mominous. Ribbis is not mominous. I'll give you the greatest proof that ribbis is not mominous. If it would be mominous, if it would really be tantamount to stealing, you couldn't do it from a guy. You're not allowed to steal from a guy. You're allowed to give, take ribbons from a guy. Why is that? It's business. It's business practice. One guy takes ribbons from another guy, there's nothing wrong with it. We don't say, oh yeah, what a rush are you on taking a ribbons from another guy. It's delicious. That's the way the world works. That's how business works. You can't steal from a guy. One guy can't steal from another guy. A guy can't steal from a Jew. I can't steal from another. No one can steal from each other. But ribbis is a mitzvah satayra that appears in your day. It doesn't even appear in Chayshim Mishpah. So it's a very, very difficult premise of Rav and Samachal and Alf, because this whole premise seems to be working with the assumption that ribbis is lumped together with Ono and Gezela, which it doesn't even seem really to be true. So that nekuda we taka don't understand, but that's not really actually what the part that's important for us is Rav's continuation. So Rav tries to show you why all the three different isurim are necessary. And then Rava says, all three are not really necessary. Two out of the three are necessary. And if I wouldn't have had the third, I would have been okay. Also, I would have also known that it's Osir. And finally, the Gemara says that it's the second of the white lines. Rava concludes, if the Torah would have just prohibited ribis and just prohibited Ona, I would have said, Hatzada Shav Sheben, the second of the white lines, the bottom, Hatzada Shav Sheben, Shikain Gozlo, both in ribis, I'm stealing, which again, we don't know what that means, and in Ona, I'm quote-unquote stealing. Afani Avigezo, I can't take ribis from you, and I can't cheat you in a deal, so I would have thought that I can beat you up and take your money away? Of course I can't. So I could have figured out Gezel without the Torah saying it. Why did the Torah have to say Lo Sigzol? I would have known it on my own. There's no need for the Torah to say Lo Sigzol. Anybody could have figured it out simply from a combination. It's not going to be any better than Rivers and Ono. So the verse says, Amre Hochinami. Moses Yitakarei. Elalav Begezel Amali. So why in the world did the Torah spell out, you're not allowed to steal? Lekove Schar Sochir. To tell me that you're not allowed to not pay a worker. That's what L'Sigzol is there to tell me. But that's already different. I'm not doing something actively. When I actively do Ono, when I actively take ribbis, I actively beat you up and take your money, that I understand. I hire you to do a job and I don't pay you. So if I don't pay you on time, that's one issue. But here, it's worse than not paying you altogether. I hired you to paint my house, you give me a bill for $5,000, I tell you, jump like I'm not paying you. So the Gemara says, that's called Gezela. That's the reason why there's this of Gezela in the Torah. They tell me that you're over Gezela. So comes the Gemara and says, what am I passing for? The Torah says, you're not allowed to hold back paying payment for a job. The Gemara says, you're right. Lava lo bishne lavin. That when you hold back payment from a worker, you don't pay his wages. So that's a double whammy. It's a double assert. Not only lo sashak, it's lo sigzol also. So when all the dust settles, the strange thing, the pasuk of Sigzol does really refer to Gezela. Because outright Gezela is too obvious. It's superfluous to ask a Gezela. Anybody could have figured out Gezela. Gezela is not going to be any better than a non ribbis. Strange Gemara. Many, many different levels. Very, very strange Gemara. That's why I stayed in the Gemara. So Tosis is not satisfied with this Gemara. Tosis is shepherding the Gemara. Tosis says, maybe, there is a reason why we need Gezela. Why you need a lava gazela? The Gemara's rubbish premise was, I don't need an Israel gazela, I could have figured it out basically from a known ribbis. Tos says, no, it's not true. Let's take a look at the small tosis. A lava the gazel amalei, and the Gemara concluded that the only reason why the Torah had asked the gazela was kovish chasochim. So frek tosis, vim taimar, for like me the gazel gufe. Now maybe the pasuk lo sigzol is there for gazela. With a gazel avadim, the loasim ribbis shall know, the ain't know the avadim. Maybe you need a parasha of Gezela in a case where Ono wouldn't have been Osir. What's a case Ono wouldn't have been Osir? Avodim. Maybe there are other cases. Figure it out. There are cases that wouldn't have been part of the Ono model. Maybe that's the reason for the Issa Gezela. So why does the Gemara fall back and say there's absolutely no need? The Pasuk Gezela is completely 1,000% superfluous. It's not true, Sistosis. It's very necessary. It's necessary to tell me cases where Ono, you want to learn out from Ono, but there are cases where Ono itself doesn't apply. So again, we're not going to do now the Tosis Teretz, Kasha Teretz. It's a complicated Tosis also. There's a lot on this Tosis, but I just want to focus on one thing. Tosis formulated this Kasha, they say, what do you mean you would have learned that Gezel from Ono? There are cases that Ono doesn't apply, like Avodim, Kakos, etc. Stop Tosis. Penalty mark on Tosis.
This is his mother.
What are we talking about? We're not talking about what happens if and when you did Gezela. We're not talking about what happens if and when you took Ribbis. We're not talking about what happens if and when you did Ono. We're talking about Lavali the Kosach, but a Lav the Gezel the Ono. The Gemara is being done on Isurim. And Tosis, notwithstanding the fact that the Gemara is being done on Isurim, Tosis just threw a curveball at us. I just said, we're talking about Isurim, the Alpha Pichain. There's no Ono by Kerkos, so I've heard them. So, as strange as against our intuition it was, but it's clear that Tosfos is learning, Eino Nolaka Kosas Mamash Kipshut Kamashmon. You're allowed to do it. Why are you allowed to do it? It's crazy. Aren't you stealing? Isn't it dishonest? What's the answer? Almost like the Rashbam said, it's not really dishonest. You know why? Because there's really no price in karka. The Torah is not Mesiach, is there price? There's no price in karka. Karka changes, karka fluctuates.
Is that what Rashi meant by it's not a Darush of the Midah?
Hmm? Right, because Rashi was saying that if
on the other hand,
right. It's so fundamentally different. Dabar Shebibida means I cheated you on an amount of karka. If I say I'm selling you, 30 yards, and I sell you 20 yards, I cheated you on an amount of karka. That's cheating. That's business cheating. I told you that I want $100,000 for a piece of land. It's only worth $80,000. Okay, that's dachshlam. That's chayim. That's business. There is no price tag on karka. That's right. That's what Aaron Olivier Gross means, and that's matter. It's not just consequences, what happens after you did it. It's mutl l'chachila. As I say, it's a tremendous chiddush in tais. I didn't say we hope it's a tremendous chiddush in tais.
Some of us with the other post was that 100% markup was...
Right, because I guess 100% markup, it reached the point where you can't even call that price anymore. That's mamashly. That's like cheating on yard, on space already.
But it still works, because it's not onah.
Right. That's like selling a car without an engine. You reach a certain point where it just I can't say it's just an outright mistake. So who is the bar plukta of this tosis? To the Ramban. So I sent them on Mukamas. I sent them. Sent to Ramban Latoy, right? Okay. At least I'm just gonna say Ramban Latoy. Ramban is addressing a basic fundamental problem in literally Pshat and Pesukim Chumash. Pesukim Parshas Bahar, which are the source for the whole Parshat Bahar, remember it starts, Chesimkru Mimgal HaMisecha, O Kanomi Ad HaMisecha, O Toni Shesachiv. That's the Isra of Onah, that's where the whole Sukkah started. Tov Nikmi Ad Yad. The problem is, what's the next Pesukim talking about? Anyone remember? Why is that Pasuk of Anoah in Parshas Bahar? Bahar is talking about Shemitah and Yovel. So why does the Torah even talk about it there? Because the very next Pasuk says, when you're selling land in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Shah Yovel Noheg, you're not selling land forever. You're only selling land until the Yovel is coming back to Yovel. So therefore the Torah says that V'mispar Shanim Achar HaYovel Tiknem Eisa Mesecha V'mispar Shnei Tzvolosim Goloch. Make a cheshbon. How many years till Yovel? If it's 38 years till Yovel, so that means it's going to be an expensive piece of property. If it's 3 years till Yovel, it's not going to be that expensive piece of property. So the Torah says, "Bafi rov hashanim tarbem iknoso." If there are a lot of years left till Yovel, jack up the price a little bit. "Ulafi ma'ot hashanim tabit mishnaso." If it's less years, then they'll lower the price. Keep me spachvol. So you're only selling the X amount of years anyway. You're going to get it back in a couple of years anyway. So the Torah says, be careful. When you sell land, don't cheat the guy. Namely, this guy doesn't know anything. He doesn't know Yovel. He doesn't have calibers. He can't look online. He has no idea when Yovel is. So I start telling him, a boo boo mind, sir, that, yeah, this land is worth $100,000. It's so many years till Yovel. So the Torah says, don't do that. Be careful. So what's the problem? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, why? Because the Pasuk says, V'chisimkru mimka l'misecha, o kano miyad l'misecha, dover nika miyad l'yad, which means, of course, only metalin, to exclude lafuke karkos, and then the very next Pasuk is talking about karka. The model itself in the Chumash of Onoah is karka. I'm selling you land. What in the world did we're talking about? The very next pasuk after that drasha, "Vakonu l'misecha l'miyute karka," is right. That itself is talking about karka. So the Ramban in his Perashat Chumash addresses that issue and gives a very very long shalachic answer. So take a look at the Ramban. It starts with "Va'ani choshev." It's the second line. You have to see it came out right in the Ramban. "Va'ani choshev." Second line in the Ramban. It's the end of the line. Vani Chayshev says the Rambam, Vani Chayshev Od Svara, Shevadai Hama'ane Es Chaveiro Ladas, Oiver Belav, Baby Metalfle, Baby Kokos. Says the Rambam, you cheated a guy on a price? Avadi Oiver Nisar in the Torah. There's a difference. You're dishonest. There's a difference whether it's Karak Metalfle. And he says, Shebehen Dibra Kosov, Al Toni Shesachim, Bimispashon Macha Yegel. So So he says that's a double portion on nine. Of course, vis-a-vis the Isser Val Noor, Karak and Bethalton are the same, the exact opposite of the Tosfos in Mavitzil. Says the Rambam. Aval Rabbi Seinu Chitshu Val Noor, that a Chachomim were Mechadesh in the Parish of Val Noor. Now, he didn't say Tiknu, doesn't say Derabonon. Chitshu, the Chachomim understood, the Mechadesh, this new idea, that not only is it Osir to do Val Noor, Chitshu Val Noor Tashlumim, that there are ramifications, there are consequences of doing or not. Guess what? The Torah doesn't say anything about that. Vishtet, where does it say in the Chumash? As you asked correctly, where does it say Shtus, Yosvishus, Yosvishus, Pavlishus? Where does it all come from? Mishnayis and Brayis, Sugis and the fourth paragraph of Mitzvah. Where does it all come from? So Rabbi Seinu Chitshu, Chazal Mechadish, this idea that there are repercussions, the consequences of doing or not. What are the consequences? Bishtus HaMechach, all those dinim of if it's shtos, then the mekach is kind, you got to give back the money. If it's yos mishtos, bittul mekach. All the dinim of post or not, all the recourse, you take the fellow, the bezin, and get you your money back, you get the, at least a little bit of the money back, you get the sale canceled, whatever the different halachas are. Umizeh bilvad miyatu akarkos. Alzeh ne'amar eino no lakarkos. The Durash of Chazal of Ein Ono Lekarkos only applies to the after the fact of returning the Ono, returning the Mekach, whatever the Yisr would be, the Yisr or the Yisr's Mekamah they made. How did the Ramban know this? Where did Chazal know? Chitshu Ono, where did they get it? They made up the Rabbanah? No, it's not the Rabbanah. Chazal got these two parashas of Ono, the two Dinah of Ono, the Yisr of Ono, and then the repercussions of Ono. They got it from the Pesukim. They just read the Chumash more carefully than we did. They read V'chisim k'milko kon b'yana misecha. So linked in that phrase, b'yana misecha, Toshu Bapé explains, that comes to exclude karka, and the very next pasuk talks about karka. So Chazal connected to that. Said, wait a second. Is karka yeh included or not included? Well, the drasha says it's not included, but the pasuk says it is included. So the answer is brisket eretz. There are two did it. There's an Isra no, and there is a Chazar so no. Vis-a-vis the Isra no, about the karka is the same. That's what the whole... So all the psukim we're talking about the Israel now. I'll tell you, don't be a cheater. Count out the years to Yehovah properly. Don't tell the guy the wrong story. But tachlis, if you cheated the guy in karka, or kar mimisecha, after the fact, there's no recourse to base. So the rabbi, this rabbi is an eye opener on so many different levels, because you can read the whole fourth paragraph of Mitzvah, and you read about. If it's a sixth, if it's more than a sixth, a year, and you have to stop and scratch it, where does it come from? The Rabbana. We asked the Halacha Mashmash, where did it come from? Rabban said, no, it came from the Pesukim. It came from the comparing and contrasting. On the one hand, Karka is the same, and the other hand, Karka is not the same. The answer is, depends what you're talking about. So, Munach, linked in the fact that the Torah is giving you, in a sense, contradictory positions about what Karka is or is not, linked in that. In that discussion is the fact that there are two parts of Ono. One is the Isser, where Karka is the same as Metalplin, and one is the consequence of Karka parts ways with Metalplin. And of course, this Ramban takes on that Tosis against Tosis in Bavitsi in the fifth part. So if the Ramban would have stopped here, it would have been Dayena, it would have been Mamash, it would have been worth it just to read these words of the Ramban. It's an eye opener for the fourth part of Bavitsi, yeah? But the Ramban goes even further. Ramban says that. He asks now a hashkafic, machshavic, / halachic question. So why is it, in a sense, that ain't another good cause? Why, after the fact, why is it that you can't take the guy to Beis Din for the mistaken karka? Says the Ramban, umizebel bad miyata kakos. Why? Lefi shaha ono bahem afilu b'yese b'shtos mechila. Kemoshi mechila b'metalat l'mepachas mishtos. Rambam, an eye-opener number two. What did Rambam just say? What's the nature of the din of Ein Ono Lekarkos? It's just a quirk, a halach, similar time, because here's the cost, it doesn't make any sense. It makes a lot of sense. We already know that even if I cheat somebody, he can't always take me to court. Why? If it's such an insignificant amount, that it's understood he's most people are boichel that amount. That's the din of pachas mishtos. We started that kiddush mebeis. That's how we started our sugya. Pachas mishtos, nikametach, mechiva. You can't even take the guy to beis. You don't have any claims against him to beis. Says the Ramban, When it comes to karka, even mistakes more than pachas mishtos. Again, according to Rebbeinu Tam, sometimes you reach a point too high, according to Rashi, you reach a point in the lower point, according to Rami and Rashbam, you never reach a point. But there is a point on the spectrum where you cheated the fellow in karka, and you didn't obey, you divided Nisa deraisa, Issa Gomu Belishim suffix, says the Rabban. But this fellow still can't take you to a dintar. Why? The same way that he can't take you to a dintar for pachas mishtos batal, because it's mechila. Why? What makes mechila? So there are different factors that go into determining mechila. One is number. If it's such a small amount, it's mechila. Number two is item. Remember, even the Ramban concedes that karka is very tough to put an exact number on. We know in the real estate market, it doesn't always make sense. You can talk something to mumchim. It doesn't always make sense. Right? All right?
Not the mumchim.
Okay, but that's what they say. It doesn't always make sense. Not in cars. You sell a car, there's a little fluctuation, but you know, 25,000, 28,000. It's within the realm. Okay, you buy a fancy sports car for 150,000. It's within the realm of normalcy. Karka, it's crazy. There are so many other things that go into karka. Location. I don't know how many things go into karka. Sentimental value, but a lot of things go into karka. It's very, very hard to give an exact number, and therefore, people tend to, in a sense, understand that if they paid a little bit more than they quote-unquote should have, they weren't really cheated. And even if it's a little bit more than pachas mishtos, namoichel. So the Ramban is learning, he just made a equation, I had a board, I would draw an equation. Pachas mishtos by metaflin equals a shtos, maybe more than a shtos, by karka. There's a built-in mechila. The Rabbi say there's a third break for the Ramban. For the break to the one of the Ramban is that there's an issa to do on those karka. Issa derais. Pasuk chosh. Break to number two is the whole nature of the din, why there's no chazaras or no, is based on the fact that dino ke mechila like dino pachas mishtos. What's the third break through the Ramban? The third break through the Ramban is, continues, Ramban says, L'fishon no b'em afil b'yasi mishtos b'chila, k'moshi mechil metal b'chad mishtos, afa b'yishu osin lahonis kem l'das. Are you allowed to cheat a guy less than mishtos? According to what Ramban just said. Ramban just equated einon ola kakos to metal t'lin b'chad mishtos. Just as there's an isim goma midiraisa to be ma'ana a guy in karka, even though the guy is going to be moichel after the fact, that doesn't detract from the isser. So too, if you cheat a guy in a car less than a shtos, that's an isim goma midiraisa. The Ramban just equated the two. He says a pasuk chosh al tonu b'mispar shana chayoyvu. If the Ramban's equation is ironclad, is correct that more than shtos per karka is the same as pachas shtos in metachlin. Just as one shtos in karka is an issa gominatory, that's what Altonu Yishasach is talking about. The pasuk is talking about karka. Altonu Yishasach. And afal pichein, it's also, even though there's going to be mechila after the facts, but you're not allowed to do it. So too, if you cheat a fellow more than less than a sixth from Talton, that's an issa gominatorized. I'm selling a guy a car for $10,000 and I know that the going price is $9,950. I'm in violation of an issa gominatorized of no. I have to tell up front what the price is. If I tell him up front, the price is $99.50, I want an extra $50. That's, I don't know, that's business. That's okay. But if I cheat him on the price, he doesn't know what's going on. He thinks he's getting $9,950, he's paying more, he doesn't know what he's getting. So that's oh no.
How does that work if there's an implicit mechila?
Right, the Ramban is saying that the mechila is after the fact.
But it's not like Chovel, where you know that Shiloh, the guy says Chovel
right.
Me and I'll be
right. But he's moichel after that. But that's exactly what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. That's the parsha of Anah. Even though there's mechil bekarka also, that's what I'm about to say. There's mechil bekarka, and you're still not allowed to do it. It's a chiddush gadol this Rebbe. One could have argued like Judah that it's matar finished. So you know, argues like you, the Rosh. Or at least that's the soft way at the Rosh. If you take a look in the fourth paragraph. you have it on the Maamar Kamos where I wrote that. Where does it? Dalachov. Okay. Take a look at Dalachov. So at the bottom of the Amud, the second Amud on the page Kuf on the base, Simon Dalad, it's a Perek Dalad Simon Chaf. First one lies Mishtos. So it's about eight lines on the bottom. V'yiroa. V'yiroa, the B'choshah, the Varah, Filipachs Mishtos, also Lanas Aschaveren. You're not allowed to do it, the Rosh starts out, sounding like the Ramban. If you're cheating him more than a proof they gave him, I know it's not the right price. I'm not allowed to do it. Drachmana Omar al Tonu b'chol dova sheish b'shivi moman. He's here to show you anas chaveru. Ela she'amru chachamim ta'at shtus avi mechila. Lefi she'kach derech mekach memkar. Lefi she'alakech v'moch eni mechol mechavin d'me'am mekach b'tzimtzum. Since it's always hard to get an exact price. V'derech ha'elam nimchol te'usim at shtus. So even though it's true that people, may not be thrilled about it, but Lamaisa, people understand that there's a little bit of a fluctuation in price. That's okay after the facts, but you're not allowed to do it. But Lamaisa, you're not allowed to do it. But now, if you skip to the next page of the Rush, the second line from the top, now the Rush backtracks says, I'm not so sure what I said is right. So at the end of the second line from the top, Oshema's of the Rush. Kevin should derech mekach umemke bekach. The lefomu akech chafetz bemekach zem moisiv alav domim yosuf teishav. Sometimes people pay more than it's worth. Upam she meichel mezalza b'shumasa b'mkaro. Sometimes the meichel goes down. V'she ein chafetz arba lov. Because he doesn't want the object so much. Oshim doch lemos. Hilkach achtus avi b'chlal d'me mekach. V'ein kan shem anor klal. V'tzorchian. The Rush says, maybe one could argue, cheating within a shtus is not cheating mechlal. It's a long shtus. It's not called cheating. It's normal price. It's no fluctuation. That's okay. It's within the realm of normalcy. That's called dech mechlal. It's not called cheating. So he then says, yirei shemayim yetzidei kulam. That's it. You'd be much better. Business is to say, yirei shemayim, we won't do these kinds of things. So it's interesting. What the Ramban took as a milsa of the pshita, that there's an issa deraisa of a ma'ana with karka, Tosis disagrees with Bobitzia. What the Ramban took is a milsa of the pshita that's also in Ma'ani and Pachas Mishtos, the Rosh is not so sure that it's true. One last akuda, according to Tosis, the deal we have to tell us in the fifth prayer of Bobitzia, that you are allowed to cheat with karka. That's not called a noah b'chal. There's no price on karka b'chal. So what's pronounced in the Pasuk of Chumash? Why does the Torah say you have to be careful when you sell land? Why is the Torah talking about?
That's the 100% markup.
Is it really 100% markup? All the Pesukim we're describing is you're off a little bit on the years.
Is that a totally different transaction than a normal sale?
Wait.
You're really renting a property.
So you are selling it. It's land. It is land. It's land. It's a Kenyan on the character of Lizman.
You calculate based on how many years
you're so what are you really saying? I know. There's something funny about this. There's something different about this. Even by land, we said, there's a certain point where it's not called ono, it's called tos. What's the deal if I sell you land, and I told you I'm selling you an acre and I sell you a half an acre? That's a tos. This is a very, very tricky thing here.
Tos on the time that's left.
It's a tos on the time that's left, which is impacting on the value of the field. Now, at the end of the day, I'm selling you the acre. It's an acre which has a time limit of a year. I thought that time limit of 3 years on it. So it's almost like a davar shel mida. So maybe that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says that there's no right from the psukim. When there's a question of a price, when it's just an outright price, that's enonologa goes. And that's muti v'lechachila. But when there's some kind of misrepresentation of facts that are creating the change in price, that's already close to the model of davar shel mida. And the Ramban disagreed because the Ramban using that posuk bahar as the model for the din of Yisrael no bekar. So Tosfos and the Ramban were both learning Pashas Bahar in very, very different ways. Everyone agrees, in the end of the day, the Torah says you're not allowed to cheat the guy in the years. Tosfos learned That's not Ono, that's Pekas Tos, that's Tavish of Amida in effect. And the Rabban is like, no, that's Ono. And you're not allowed to cheat a guy because Ono is a Tos, and everyone's not here to cheat him in the first place. So two very, very different approaches. So I'll call upon him. The din stands in Kiddush after 9 days. Ono like a Tos. But what that means, is there a limit? Is there a cap to that? Three very much like Zivishayim. How that affects principle, like Zivishayim. Is there an Isser? Tarsus of Babitziah, the Mechudish took away, Rabban his. Razzle dazzle, everything that took him, all the things that emanated from the Ramban, the comparison between Karka and the Talmud Bachas B'Shtos, the Isser in both, the Tosaf disagrees with, the Rush goes to the question where it's right, all this all revolves around the basic rule of Ein Halacha Kol, so is including that rule or not.